Can you say hard hats, folks? Hard hats, lunch pail, steel toe boots?
Anything short of a championship this year is a failure.
Look at this boomer right here.
You've just got so much talent here.
Somebody said we need to apologize for Jalen.
Can I call the John? What are we apologizing for? What'd we say? What'd we do?
Hi, Bobby.
How about a dress rehearsal, huh?
Wow. Do this.
Throw it in the trash.
In the dumpster. In the absolute dumpster. Unbelievable performance.
You know what's going to happen in the closet tonight, Jimmy?
What's going to replace he's your third center for next year? It's a meaningless game. It's meaningless.
No, add Gasly.
We need third center.
Add Gasly to the mix. Bobby tweeted that tonight's performance was ghastly. I want to see that word come back to life this year.
I think pound for pound, and again, John's right. This one's meaningless, so we'll get that out of the way at the start. Now that we put that to the side, this was their worst performance all year. And listen,
they're
we know why.
Floppus.
No, John, because you know that Bucks game where you go down by a million. It's the fifth game in seven nights. There were a lot of other nights you had some excuses. This one, it was the dress rehearsal. You're not going to play again for 10 days. You played all your starters. You were trying to win.
Sort of.
Didn't show up.
Sort of. Here's where I'll qualify it, okay? Like, this is the excuse portion of it. They're not running real offensive sets, okay?
They're just tossing up threes, yeah.
They're not. And I get that from a strategic point of view. You know, you don't want to see the two-man game with White and Porzingis and doing these things.
I don't think they're hiding anything, John.
It's not hiding as much as they're not doing anything real.
He's not showing their stuff. Yeah. It's like
Joe even said a week ago, like, there's none of that with them. Everything they do is obvious. Yeah.
They're not doing anything. And they are treating this as cardio. I just want to get up and down the court some, and that's that. That being said, trying isn't like something you can't do. Like, you want to just get cardio in, go friggin' ride the bike and during the game and
behind
don't
the bench. Yeah.
Bike go behind the bench and ride the bike. Like, it is embarrassing to like not box out and not get back on D and let guys beat you. Like, that stuff's embarrassing. Like, sure, you want to do the whole, like, yeah, we're just going to chuck threes and go up and down the court. But I don't know. Like, it's just three quarters of cardio is just weird. Like, you just stop playing. Like, we're not going to exaggerate, like, oh, this means a lot. There's no think pieces to be written off this one game. But, like, I tweeted it earlier, like, it's okay to not be okay with it. Like, wouldn't you rather they make this the last time they actually play a real game, go out there and actually like play hard and beat a team that might be your toughest potential test in the conference finals? You've now kind of laid down against Milwaukee and New York. Fine. You don't give a crap. The games don't mean anything, but like, wouldn't you have felt better if they did the opposite? If they did the Jimmy Toscano, you show up and you really send a message? Yeah. Wouldn't you be as a fan? This is the thing. So this is where the whole conversation, everyone knows it doesn't mean anything. Everyone knows they could go to the playoffs, flip a switch, everything's fine. The team that you saw all regular season is there. Everybody knows that. Nobody's making a commentary on whether or not this game is at all representative of what type of team you'll see in the playoffs. But as a fan, wouldn't you have rather seen the other thing?
The only thing this showed tonight, John, is that
it's so hard for people to admit that.
Yeah, like, wouldn't you have rather seen them win? Like, just say it, guys. It's okay. Like, yeah, I wanted
them to just play.
I want them to lose and not try, and I like this.
It's good to get the losses out of the way now.
It's so painful to hear you guys say shit like that.
Every other
anything
team
they do is fine.
Loses
it's
in
okay
this situation
to have wanted
too.
To win.
No, yeah. John, when you play your top six, you're trying to win that game. You're trying to play well. You're trying to get the team their reps together.
I love
one last
losses.
Time. before the playoffs. So
this was a good loss.
Tonight only means one thing.
Nobody got hurt, John. That's all that matters.
Good. There's only one thing you take from tonight. You can't just roll the ball out there and win against one of the upper tier East teams, which this Knicks team is. You have to run your offense, as John said. You have to try defensively. I mean, the on-ball defense tonight was a disgrace, like across the board. And the rebounding. What's going on with the rebounding?
I said it. It's out there. What's going on with the rebounding?
Why do we play the game? To win.
I like winning.
Winning feels good sometimes. It's not the only thing, though.
So that's the thing. You want to take one thing out of this game? That's why the Knicks are a problem, and I want to keep them out.
They're physical.
Yeah. I want to keep them in the other bracket because, yeah, they're physical. They'll kill you on the boards there. That's not a shot didn't fall thing. That's a you might get a taste of that, and you got to overcome it when you play them.
Well, I was saying that to Bobby or Amit before the show started. It's like this would be
I said it last
second,
night, Jimmy.
Second round opponent. Yeah, and again, are you scared of them beating you? Not really. Are you worried that they might beat you up and make you go six or seven games? I mean, seven games would be wild, but make you go deep enough where it's just kind of like.
I want to see it. This would
punching
be fun.
Away. I do too. And you know what? If there's anything you can take out of this, anything positive other than the fact that.
Here's a silver lining.
We don't even care that they lost. We actually are happy that they lost.
Are you going to quote Joe silver lining or wait for Amit to cut it for us?
I'm not going to quote anything. I'll wait for Amit to cut it. But
go ahead, Jimmy. Finish up. Yeah.
All I'm going to say is what Bobby – it kind of echoes what Bobby says. You can't just roll the ball out there. So hopefully they can get a taste of what the Knicks are capable of. Because this game meant something to the Knicks, and they showed that. And Brunson went out there, and he was the best player on the court by far tonight. By far. And so if anything, it's hopefully a reminder or a wake-up to say, hey, we actually do need to hit shots. We actually do need to play with effort on the glass. And by the way, here's all the film of what happens when we don't put in that extra effort. The Knicks will run up and down the court on us. They'll get second chance opportunities. What they have? How many more field goal attempts did they have tonight than the Celtics? At least in the first half, it was like 20.
I mean, it was unbelievable.
For a team, a coach like Joe prides himself in like the analytics and maximizing opportunities and 2-for-1s and like smart shots. And we don't know why it's a smart shot because we don't get it. Okay. Well, explain allowing 20 more field goal attempts in the first half.
That's Joe's worst nightmare. Yeah. And you know what? They won turnovers. They won offensive rebounds. You know, I think free throws too in that first half, Jimmy. So they dominated those margins, and those are ways you can even out the game. And let's throw it back to that Hawks miniseries, which is another stretch of games that you can say, boredom, but you saw glimpses of things that might matter there. A team with a great coach, and we know Tom Thibodeau is that's attentive to those margins, that's paying attention to the finer details that Joe is, and that the Celtics team usually dominates and has personnel to dominate those areas. The Knicks are a great three-point shooting team. They can make it tough on you. They can make it difficult on you. I think you said a perfect thing during the game, Jimmy. Not only you compare Jalen to Jimmy Butler.
Jalen Brunson to Jimmy.
Yeah, Jalen Brunson to Jimmy
that
Butler.
That guy.
Yeah. Yeah, go on.
Not that Jalen.
Let's just be very clear here. But yeah.
Okay, definitely.
Not that they aren't the same too, John. But.
I think this Knicks team has some reflections of those Heat teams over the last year or two.
They're the new Heat.
The grittiness defensively, the physicality inside. I think they're better. Yeah, I think they're better with Randall than without him. I know that's a little debate going on right now because Randall's not going to play in the playoffs. You see the drop-off offensively going from Randall to OG, who was really good tonight. I think this is the first time that the Celtics played the Knicks with OG. But he's a little raw offensively. He gives you something on that perimeter, though. They can bother Brown. Brown was really bad in this game.
Yeah.
Tatum was bothered at points. Porzingis didn't get the ball enough. they can disrupt what you want to do, John, and they can extend the series. They can hit threes with you. They can. I think that analytically,
they've got some home court. Obviously, the guard, the home court guard would be unreal.
Best player on the court in certain games with Brown. They have a formula easy, here Bobby. That can make it really tough on you.
Easy what you say. Best player on the
court. He's capable of it. He looked dangerous tonight, didn't he?
Very, very dangerous tonight. He played with a purpose. Nobody on the Celtics played with any purpose. And again, we get it. It's hard to. It's totally hard to. But Joe put him out there, I imagine, for a reason. He wanted to see one more look with these guys together. I imagine they're going to probably take some time off the next two games here, as they should, and as they've earned it. And a team like the Knicks can't, right? And teams like the Magic and the, you know, Sixers, they all have to still play balls out if they're worried about seeding or whatnot. And the Celtics don't. And so credit to them for not having to. But I think Joe, I don't know what Joe said after the game, but I'm hoping that he can at least admit that the effort wasn't there. You know, it's hard to manufacture. I get it. It's hard to manufacture some of this stuff. But where's the accountability, Bobby, all year? And at some point, this is kind of how I felt about Jim Montgomery and the Bruins last year. Never once did any accountability take place as they blew that series.
Until heading into game 7, and he started to admit, like, I might have screwed up the goalie.
Right. Whether it's him or whether it was the players, it was just everything is awesome. Everything's fine. Nothing's bad here. And you know what? There's a lot of things that are awesome.
Can I just say this too? Because I'm about to get out of here. And I know, like, I texted you guys and didn't get much of a response. So I need it now. Stay away.
It's okay that I was talking. Finish. Go ahead.
Why say everybody's bad in crunch time? He went on the radio yesterday and said, we might be bad in crunch time, but everybody is. Why say that? That's why?
Doesn't Jokic shoot 70% in crunch time?
But, John, you don't have the numbers in front of you. And Missoula comes armed with, like, the gotcha statistic that's going to, like,
I get what he's saying, Jimmy, but why say it?
In his way, like, it's how he's – that's just – that's who he is. He'd rather get you.
That's all I got. I'll be back.
He'd rather get you. Mic drop? Bobby with the mic drop. He's going to leave us with that, John. He's going to let us ponder this.
Like I said – as I've said about everything all year long, sadly, wins and losses, nothing matters until it matters. Like,
right. It's like, go time next weekend.
You show up in the playoffs and you're in dogfights with teams you should be beating. Yeah, you're going to start sweating a little bit. Show up in the playoffs and you're a team that had an 11.5, you know, point differential throughout the regular season and you're just stomping people and, you know, winning series in 4 and 5 games, yeah, everyone's going to feel a lot better. So it never at any point is any of the commentary or reflection on true feeling about, like, yeah, bad habits and this and that. And again, we know, I don't want to stop putting it in the chat, Denver backed into the playoffs last year. There's anecdotal evidence to prove anything you want to prove. So we're not trying to prove anything. You're not. No. You just don't know. As I say with almost everything, you don't know with any certainty that it matters or doesn't matter. So don't say it doesn't matter. Let's wait and see.
We know, yeah, John, that they have a team. They've shown
the
this
best
year.
Team.
It's the best team by miles.
They're the best team. They should win. Will they win? That's the question. You don't know.
And I think everybody
win.
The doubt people have in their minds, the mentality thing. So when you're slipping up mentally at any point, and that's what tonight was, warranted or not, you get nervous a little bit. And this is why, you know, my final point before I bounce out of here, this is why many people want to see them face a Heat, a Sixers, a team that wakes you up right away round one. Because if you're going against the Magic who are coming into play now, the Bulls or whoever, get ready for more of this. Just sleepwalking and, you know, expecting to win and, you know, walking in the door like the series is over. You want something that's going to get you ready. Because when this team's locked in, ready, you know, we saw it against the Pelicans a couple weeks ago and some other points down the stretch of the season, you still see that dominant team that we watched at points this year. But again, we know what tonight was. I'm going to go here a little bit from the Knicks and I'll hop back on.
Okay, they're important. Go get them.
Yeah.
Go get
Thank
the Knicks.
God he's gonna get OG quote. Yeah.
So
Tibbs, I get a Tibbs breakdown of tonight's performance.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Free samples, free shipping, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step and into your home too. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So, look, what it all comes down to with these guys, what it's always come down to is, like, yeah, they've never won. They've never won. So you're not certain they're going to win. And that always freaks you out. It's a mentality thing. So that's, again, you don't like getting reminded of, nobody wants to see Tatum and Brown not try and not care under any circumstances, even if the blueprint handed to them by their coach was, I want you to not try and not care tonight. You know what I mean?
Is that what the blueprint was? Are we gonna get something?
I stole the playbook. I have it.
Okay. Oh, okay.
No, but I mean, it's clear that they've done the experimenting. It's clear that they're not taking things seriously. They're not running plays, they're not running any sets, they're just going out there. But nobody ever wants to see those guys look like they don't care, ever. The last bucket of the game before they emptied the subs, Jaylen Brown just watched a guy walk by him.
He was like,
and just stood there, walked by him, like the. And again,
like All Star game.
It was, and again, that's the smallest thing that happened, but just the last thing in my mind. Nobody likes seeing that. Ever under any right. circumstances. So that's what triggers the chat and fans. Like, I don't like seeing these guys not try, walk up and down, get frustrated, shrug their shoulders, blah, blah, blah. Nobody wants to see it. But again, there's no reason to believe that this has anything to do with who they are, this game. None. I'll stand by that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is.
Because I've always thought I thought the difference this year wasn't Tatum and Brown are all of a sudden winners and mature and better and this and that any more than they would be naturally just progressing year over year. You get more serious. I thought they just had too many grown-ups in the room and played in a really professional way that they hadn't in the past. And you wouldn't get into these lulls of like, oh, I'm so depressed. My shot's not falling. I'm going to stop trying everywhere. I don't think you don't get those. That's why they haven't had a lot of dips this year, because they pull it back up.
Yeah, they haven't had like you just said, they haven't had a prolonged slump of awful play. I honestly think, you know, by Sunday, we're not talking about this game anymore. And it's over and done with. And that's the end of it. Once the playoffs come around, it's just a completely different beast. And it's going to be a completely different mindset from the Celtics. My only thing is just be prepared to expect that from the opponent too. I mean, you're seeing it still now, like in the Knicks, for example, tonight, but all the games the Celtics have played for the last like month or so hasn't really meant much to them at all. And I just don't want that to become like, they're playing at a lesser intensity or a lesser level. They're not clicking the same ways because it hasn't meant anything or hasn't meant much, you know? And yeah, you still go out there and want to play well and, you know, get your points and all that stuff. But as far as wins and losses go, standings, anything like that, it just feels like this is just the lull that is this is like you're being punished for all the games that you played great that no one's remembering now, right? Because it's recency bias, but they had tons of unbelievable performances this year, and that's why they have a 14-game lead or whatever it is. I just want to see – you know what it is, John? I think, like, we just need to see them come out game one of the first round and just who are they? You know, are they going to run teams out of the arena like we know they can? Or are they stuck – are they going to be stuck in some sort of, you know, mediocre style of play? I don't like – it gives me PTSD when I just see, like, the shot chucking and then just missing so poorly. And then just like the offense leading to just like pissed offness on defense and just not trying. I want to see defense lead to offense, not poor offense lead to poor defense. So that's kind of what it is. But again, it doesn't mean anything. It means right now. It doesn't mean anything. So can't sit here and be like insanely angry about it. It's just more of an annoyance. And like we said off the top, wouldn't you have rather have liked to see them win? Like maybe just try, maybe play well. Maybe the bench still comes in the fourth and they extend the lead and you win.
Yeah.
And then we're the all last. Just, yeah.
The last stand of the Boston Celtics. And then you're just playing Maine for the next 2 days, you know, two games. That's right. Let's go
one last, even like, if, one you know last what? Good
even
taste.
If they just played, even if they just played awesome for a half, if the game plan was play your balls off for one half, straight up everything you got. I don't give a crap what the score is, up, down, tied. That's all you're playing. We're all you're sitting in the second half. That's what I want tonight. I just want, I want 24 minutes of like legit, let's go for it. Would have been nice, but they just shut it down. And again, it's the shutdown stuff. Forget about like, I hate the whole like, well, the shots weren't falling thing. Yeah, maybe against Milwaukee, your shots weren't falling. Theirs did. It got out of hand quick. In this one, they were about the same. They were about the same in the first half. It was just something just decided.
It was attempts. The attempts were different.
Yeah.
Knicks got way more, you know, they got offensive boards. They had the second chance opportunities. They had more possessions on offense. Exactly the things that Joe always says that he values. So that was the difference. It wasn't necessarily percentages. But in that third quarter, Tatum came out cold. You know, Brunson just kept going, and that was kind of the end of it. By the time that third quarter ended, it wasn't even close to competition. Shout out to the Stay Ready crew, though. They stayed ready.
Holy crap. Given that, today, right?
If you want to just find some silver linings tonight, Stay Ready crew had a nice little, after the fiasco that they went through last week when they did not stay ready and almost blew that game. Yep. They came out differently tonight and different situations. I think it's a lot easier to play when you're down 20 than it is when you're maybe up 20. You know, you're not, there's no pressure on you at that point.
Hells yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, you like seeing that, right?
Again, does it matter? We're not going to see half those guys in a week for the rest of the season. Anyways, you won't see Svi. You'll see Hauser, obviously. But you're not going to see a lot of Tillman, I don't think, anyways. Maybe a spurt here or there. Like you said, you wanted to see the Celtics play like a good first half of basketball, competitive. And then if they didn't even come out in the second half, I don't think anyone would have batted an eye. Oh, it was a good first half. You know, got worked on a few things. Nobody got hurt. Put in the bench for the second half, and you know, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Wasn't that?
Yeah, a couple things we're going to tell you guys about. One of our sponsors here at the Garden Report, PXG. Jimmy loves this PXG stuff.
I do.
Again, Masters, everybody's in golf mode. Courses Masters are opening today. Up. Weather's opening up. So everyone's like, oh, you know, hey, maybe I'll start taking some swings. Getting the bug out there. You want to get in on either great high-performance golf clubs or incredible apparel. Check out PXG. The golf apparel line is legit. We got our free samples. Awesome golf polos, quarter zips, all of that stuff. Phenomenal. I've been wearing them around all day, all the time. I sleep with them, Jimmy.
Do you
really?
I love
my PXG. No, but I love my PXG. I really do. Premium materials, technology designed for peak performance. And again, we all did get these really nice golf polos.
I might grab that sleeveless that she's wearing. I could go with a sleeveless on the course.
They are awesome. Head to pxg.com/garden. Use the code garden. Save 10% on all apparel. Again, you're going to get out there. You might as well look good. Once again, pxg.com/garden. Use the code garden and get in on all the action here with the PXG.
Yeah. Why not, right? I'm excited for golf season. We had three straight 60-degree days.
We keep threatening to golf, but we haven't golfed yet.
We're going to golf this summer.
We are. Guard we're report. Golf. Yeah, we're going to do it.
Golf outing. It's going to be fun. We'll We'll have Amit film it. We'll do a production. Jimmy, that's a women's top. I'm aware of it. I still think I could fill it out nicely.
Jimmy can pull it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, Jimmy, you know, when you're on the tee box, sometimes you get the sleeves and they just kind of hinder the. I want to go sleeveless. I want to have complete free range.
Yeah. Let it rip. We know Joe Sway's down there. Bobby's talking to, Knicks. They're going to jump back out here in a little bit. I'm curious what the chat thinks. Again, forget the the game tonight, because it's not worth breaking down. You're either slightly annoyed, really annoyed, terribly worried, or you don't care and you haven't cared for a
really
long time. I think
most people don't care.
I don't think people care. I'm not here to – I don't care. I don't care either. I'd rather win, but yeah, I don't care. But
right.
I'll ask this. They're 4-1 against the Knicks, but they never really faced a full Knicks team. Randall's been gone for a bit. They didn't see OG post trade deadline. The Knicks team that could have formed, you had Mitchell Robinson out for a chunk of time. Yeah, they beat him, but they never saw him. And I really do think this full Knicks team would have been a problem. They still might be a problem. Like, you don't respect the Bucks, Jimmy.
That's not entirely true.
I mean, you and I are about the same on them. We respect the talent at the top. I was the one saying don't sleep on them. But also, they look broken at times. The Knicks, you know what? Then I think who was saying it here? Like, the Knicks might be the new Heat in the sense that this team's gonna. They're going to play you hard. They're coming at you. And you're going to get a team that's going to play disciplined. They're going to play hard. They're going to play defense. They're going to beat. They're going to friggin' smash the boards. And they have a killer. They have a legit killer. I know that, you know, every fanboy out there thinks Tatum has first team all NBA locked up. I think Brunson might have snatched it from him tonight. I'm not kidding. He's a killer.
Can you imagine that?
Well, there's only one spot left. Four are automatic, and it's positionless. Is Tatum the fifth guy on the first team All NBA? It might be Brunson.
Give me your four. So what do we got here?
It's Luka, Jokic, SGA, and yeah. Giannis. That's automatic. That's not changing. And then it's who's filling it out? Could be Brunson.
He's had an unbelievable season. He really has. The Knicks are playing great basketball. They've obviously got New York City behind him. I love you putting it out there, John. I love the idea of it. I mean, certainly is not out of the realm of possibilities. Is it just because of this game? No, but this is a good one for the highlight reel, certainly. And, you know, talking about head-to-head matchups, it's a little bit unfair because I wonder if Tatum comes out a little bit differently if you know, the game matters a little bit more to him. To answer your question, though, about the Knicks, are they the biggest threat to the Celtics? So here's my take on this. I think it's the Bucks only because if the Celtics play the Bucks, it means they have made it to the Eastern Conference Finals and therefore have beaten two playoff teams, have silenced the critics. Giannis is healthy and Lillard's probably hitting a lot of big shots. And at that point, you're playing a Bucks team with a lot of momentum, two of the best players in the NBA, and some supporting cast players who have been there, done that. Lopez, go down the line, Middleton. There's guys on that team that have won a title. There's guys who know what it takes. They're talented veterans. So for me, it's still the Bucks. Now, you're right about the Bucks in that they've had a horrible season, I would say, from their standards. And there's no real reason to believe in them. Giannis just went down. We don't know the extent of that yet. But I still think that they are the biggest threat only because if the Celtics see them, it's under those circumstances. Are the Knicks a problem? I think the Knicks are a problem. I think the Knicks can certainly get out of the first round. In fact, I would take them out of that first round. And then you've got a situation where you could be playing a tough Knicks team in the second round. I don't have the standings in front of me. And I know it changes every single day. But I believe that they are possibly lining up against the Celtics for a second round matchup.
Who?
So the Knicks.
The Knicks are slotting into that 2-3, which is nice.
2-3. I thought they were possibly going to be a 4.
No, they're looking good at a 3 right now. They're a game up on Cleveland.
Okay,
with Orlando, right? Orlando, Indiana. It's pretty tight, man. It's pretty incredible that it is this tightly packed.
Problem is, they don't update it like right now on the
Bucks are in the two. Knicks are in the three. If it stays that way, you're keeping them in the other bracket. It makes your road a little bit easier there for sure. If Philly stays in the,
they've got a one game lead on the Cavs, right? The Knicks do. So theoretically, that could flip, I guess, which would put them right again as the fourth seed, which would make them a second round matchup at Boston. Now maybe not. Maybe they do. Maybe they do end up as the three seed, and maybe we say, oh, it's a good thing Celtics tanked against them in the regular season and avoided them in the second round. I don't know. Either way, then whoever comes out of that second round, if it's Bucks versus Knicks in the second round, John, you're going to be playing a tough out in the Eastern Conference Finals, regardless of which team it is. So both those teams, I would say, scare me, I guess, in terms of opponents. But I don't know. I need to see a little bit more from the Knicks. I think, again, if it comes down to talent, give Brunson all the credit in the world for what he's done. And effort goes a long way and all that stuff. But I think the effort on both sides ramps up. Celtics are going to be playing balls out, I would expect, in this playoffs too. And so I lean heavily towards the talent in the playoffs. And that's why I'm not super concerned about the Knicks. But again, and that's why I think with the Bucks, I am a little bit more, because they have that more talent at the top.
I would tend to agree. Knicks have some good ingredients though, and I think Brunson plays that kind of.
Listen, the Knicks are on the up and up, right? I mean, they're going to be hard out next year. You know, like, and Randall comes back, and if he's healthy, I think he makes some boneheaded plays out there, and he can get a little bit too emotional and hurt the team. But you can't deny, you know.
But again,
good he is for them.
Celtics are getting a good draw because again, you're looking at the Philly staying in the seven. And they're gonna beat up one of those teams, or whoever. They're gonna get a two, and then that 2-3, they're staying in the other bracket. The Celtics right now are getting a good draw in their road to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not gonna say free pass. I just can't see any world in which the Celtics struggle deeply in rounds one and two right now. I would be surprised by it. I'd be surprised by it.
As would I.
Some stuff coming out of the locker room. We're going to hear from Joe Mazzulla in a little bit. We're going to hear from Kristaps Porzingis. Has a pretty interesting soundbite on whether this matters or not. His answer? Maybe it does. Candid. We'll hear from Kristaps as well, and we'll keep listening to you guys in the chat here as we're winding down the season. Yeah, and nobody wants the Sixers to be the eighth. I agree there. That's the. I don't want to play that. I don't think anyone wants to play them.
No, and I said this on the last show. I mean, you want to end up playing the reigning MVP? I mean, that's unlucky right there. The Sixers are not your typical eighth seed. We all know why they're down that far. It's because Embiid was out for the stretch of time that he was. And that's just bad. That's bad luck if you end up with that matchup. Now, it doesn't mean that we think the Sixers are going to beat the Celtics. Celtics always figure out a way to beat them anyways, and I don't see that changing. It's just the path to where you want to get. You don't want to take the hardest path possible. You don't want to be banged up. You don't want to be going six games every series. You know, you want toss an easy one in there, ramp up a little bit. You want a nice, easy start to
think. Yeah. Jimmy, you don't go for a long run starting with a hill, right? You want to get there, you know?
You want to get the muscles loose, right? You want to get warmed up a little bit. You want to get in that runner's high. You want to get in the zone, you know?
One bike route I go on starts with hills almost right away because it's the only way to get out to where I want to be, and I freaking hate it. Cannot stand it. It's automatic. But yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But that being said,
you survive them, and then all of a sudden you're like, I feel pretty good. So,
you know, right, but that your route, you know that there's like a downhill to that. When it comes to the playoffs, it's like, oh, good, now there's another hill. Oh, it's just another bigger hill after this first hill.
I understand that people like want to play like the Heat, you know, and want to play somebody who like wakes them up a little bit. I don't know. I think just like I like the cupcake. I really do.
I think the Heat actually are a cupcake this year.
You do?
I do. I don't really have much concerns about the Heat. Have the Heat made a single peep this year? I mean, really? Have the Heat made a peep this year?
No, this is all past history that people are.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But like, if the Heat did one interesting thing this year, I must have missed it because I don't remember the Heat doing one interesting thing all season long. I really don't. So yeah, they'll make the playoffs for the Heat. Blah blah blah. And I know obviously the history, but when you talk about talent, I mean they don't have the talent. They just don't. And I don't see them catching lightning in a bottle like they did last season. I don't see Caleb Martin, you know, going freaking. They don't have that same. Who's the other guy that left? He went to the Lakers.
What's that?
The guy in the Heat last year. We just went off on them like out of nowhere. And then
not Gabe Vincent.
Yeah, Gabe Vincent.
Gabe Vincent, yeah.
Like, come on, that's going to happen again? Like, come on. That was crazy.
No, I mean, the Heat series was an anomaly. As much as we hate to say, like, it's all a make-miss league sort of stuff, it was a team that doesn't shoot it that well, shooting it three times better than they normally do. Right. And then not Strus also, you know. Anyway, this is for those out there who don't care about the losses, here's someone else who doesn't care about the losses.
View on the offensive rebounds in the first half. Why is that? It's been a trend even before, you know, in the last couple weeks.
Look at him.
What can you do to change that? I know the effort level is not going to be 100% when you have nothing to play for, but did you like the effort level in the first half?
I did not like the effort level in the first half, but like you said, I think it's just a tough spot to be in. You know, I think I thought our guys have handled that as best as they could, and you ran into our last two games against two teams that are highly, highly desperate, and as much as we want to be able to simulate that, that's just not the position that we're in. But I actually don't mind the result of the last two games because I think that's important. Like, you know, going in with a bunch of wins and feeling good about yourself isn't any better than, you know, having a little bit of a bloody lip. Because of a game. So they've done the best they could over the course of this stretch, however it's been a week and a half, but no, I didn't like it in the first half.
That's as close as you're going to get to Joe calling out the team.
He didn't like it, but nothing wrong with the bloody lip either.
You know, Gary, there was give and take there on the question. Gary was like, but I know it doesn't matter, Joe. I'm not here to criticize. Right. And he's like, all right, I'm not going to tune this dude up.
Yeah, could
have gone both ways there.
I think, I mean, you can't really answer that by saying you were happy with the effort or you weren't. You know what I mean? Like, you weren't concerned with the effort. It's obvious to anybody with eyes. It's almost disrespectful to say or to not agree that the effort wasn't there. It's like, we're stupid, John, but we're not blind. You know? It's like,
no coach ever wants his team to go out there and not. Try.
Right.
Nobody wants to see it.
Right. Exactly. So he could at least meet. He could at least meet us there. I'm just glad he didn't say, "Well, did you check out the effort across the league tonight? We weren't the only team that didn't play with effort. There are a lot of teams out there that didn't play with effort." That seems to be what Bobby's hung up on, is that Joe, instead of accepting criticism or blame, deflects it and makes excuses for it, or makes reasons, basically saying, we're not doing anything worse or different than the other teams that are doing the same stuff.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
So he didn't do that tonight.
Porzingis has a good bite. Hopefully we've got that coming up about mattering, maybe not mattering. Hear from Jalen Brunson as well. And yeah, we are stupid, and we know that.
Listen, guys, I hear it enough. I know it. I'm willing to accept it.
Yeah, didn't I explain why Joe answers questions the way he answers? Because everyone is stupid, and we are collectively. Like,
right. No, thank you. Yes.
Compared to the level of basketball Joe knows, it's not a fraction. Like I said, it's preschool versus, you know.
Right. We're stupid, but collectively, John, we're even stupider.
We are even stupider.
That's the good thing about us.
Yeah, that is.
We bring each other even lower.
we're gonna bring that stupid all.
Yes, sir. That's what you get here. That's what you get here. A whole lot of stupid. Someone's got to bring it.
Yeah, someone does have to bring it. Speaking of bringing it, who else brings it, Jimmy? Prize picks. We have a little bit more sound coming in. Bobby doing work.
He actually is asking questions.
doing work in the Celtics in the Knicks locker room. Went to talk to Jalen Brunson, his thoughts about playing the Celtics.
Do five games against them. You've seen a lot of them. You've kept some of those games close, and then you win tonight. What's the key to playing them well, Boston? Like, what is like the biggest thing you have to be able to do to beat them in a game like this?
You got to play hard for 48 minutes. You got to play smart for 48 minutes. You don't have to play perfect. You know, it's not a perfect game, but you just got to be able to play hard and capitalize on the slim mistakes they make, and just play the best style of basketball that you got that we create. And so it's a lot of things that go into it, but like I said, the ball went in a lot tonight, and we got a lot of stops.
Play hard for 48 minutes, Jimmy, or you know what? You know what's better than playing hard for 48 minutes? Just wait till the other team stops playing for 6 minutes and 38 seconds. Outscore them 22-3 to finish the half and call it a day. That's all you need to do. It took 6 minutes and 38 seconds to beat the Celtics tonight. Okay.
They found a little opening. Yeah. They struck when they saw their opportunity. And that, I mean, that was a good answer by Brunson, because I think there's a lot of truth to that, especially in the playoffs. You just can't give up. You can't let up. They know that they aren't the most talented team in the NBA. But on more nights than not, if you're the hardest playing team on the court, good things are going to happen, and you're going to, I would say, more than likely win those games. And so tonight, yeah, again, we know the Celtics did not have anything at stake. The Knicks had a lot. Makes it a lot easier for them to play hard and to sort of go on those runs, John. But I think there's a lot of truth to what Brunson said, that if you punch this Celtics team hard enough and you play them hard enough and you make things frustrating enough for them, they start to beat themselves. They start to maybe take some plays off. They don't rotate the same way. They don't maybe fight for the rebounds the same way. And then that's when the runs start to happen. In the playoffs, that's not allowed to happen. You if you're the Celtics, you can't let that happen. If you're Joe Mazzulla, you can't let that happen. You got to be quick with that timeout. You got to ream your guys out in that situation. Yeah. Like Tibbs. Go Tibbs style on them.
If you're tired of our boomer takes, check out this boomer take.
What is this? Wait, what is going on? Did you go solo on me right now? I think we may have just lost John. I don't know exactly what happened. He just said, check out this boomer take. And then he disappeared. So I think John's maybe going through some technical difficulties. So we're going to go solo for a second. Where do I want to go with this? I don't really want to talk much about this game anymore, because we kind of beat it over the head. We were talking a little bit earlier about whether or not it's the Knicks, whether or not it's the Bucks. There was a time where Bobby thought the Cavs were actually the hardest matchup for the Celtics. I'd like to get his opinion on that, because we haven't really talked much about the Cavs recently. But where I'm at with it still is with the Bucks. And, you know, if you watch the not last night's show when we did a Drew Holiday special, which was a great show, I would recommend checking that one out. The game after the Bucks, obviously with Giannis going out early, or going out right when the game sort of towards the end there.
It wouldn't let me go back on.
I was just going to go on about the Bucks for a minute, because I was trying to talk about other anything else aside from this game.
Exploded off the screen.
You said, check out this boomer take, and then you died.
And then I boomered it out. No, look, I'm pressing the same button. Are you seeing
it now? Please don't. No, there's nothing. What are you trying to press? I'll try.
I'll show you right now. No. I'll show you right now. Ready?
Oh, I see it.
Yeah. Is it the right one?
Is this a boomer take?
It's not the boomer take. I'll give you the boomer take.
This is just somebody's mentions.
No, it's this guy. It's this guy right here. Jimmy, I got too many tabs open. What's he doing?
Come on, producer boy.
What's that guy doing?
This is a producer moment right now.
My problem is I stupidly have like Twitter open 12 times.
I haven't been on the Twitter website in like 6 years, man. Are you really? The only one still using it?
What's that? You don't go to Twitter?
Like twitter.com? No, I don't even know. I didn't even realize that was still a website you could go to.
It's a desktop.
We're on the desk. We're not doing this on our phone, are we?
No, I'm on my desktop.
There he is. Boomer it up. So this is interesting, right? Check out this boomer right here. Well, while we check out this boomer right here, we might as well bring Joe Sway in also. Check out this boomer right here. Kevin Garnett, the season closeout game. Set the level for the playoffs. Treat them like game one of the playoffs. Set the MF tone.
Yeah, man. OA team. OA team would never put up this type of fight, man.
We should go back and look and see how they closed out their season.
So, I mean, I'm not saying that means this team's not a championship team, but let's face it, 08, I mean, just a collection of these losses, not happening.
So whether it's happening or not, what's so interesting is, you know, it's like, you know, every time people like, you know, Garnett or like Shaq say stuff like that, everyone's like, get, watch the games, you know, like, these guys old don't heads. Know ball, like, yeah. What do you want other than like NBA champions to tell you what it takes to win? A For lot real. Of people believe it's a big deal. It's beyond talking head idiots in post-game podcasts who are like looking for clicks. Like those guys take it way more seriously, like shaking your head like, nah, man, you can't just play like a dog. They all feel that way. All of them. They all do.
These are coming from champions. Come on, guys. Like, these guys have been there. So you got to take that. You got to take that word at its value for sure. And especially when you think about, and again, this kind of goes back to what I was talking about before a couple nights ago about comparing the two teams. I mean, these guys were even hungrier because, yes, just like this team, they have tried. They had failed, you know, in their own respective teams, right? Ray Allen, Garnett, Paul Pierce. But these guys were over 30 or if not near it, you know, like it was like, yo, we got to get this together and get it going now. And Doc was like, hey, we're winning this right away. No, you know, next year. Oh, let's try to build to that. No, let's do it right now. And I think when you look at just how desperate they were, it's another level in terms of in comparison to these guys, to these Celtics. And look, I don't want to sound like that guy. Like, it's a generation thing. And it's like, oh, this game doesn't matter. So they naturally can't get themselves to put up a certain level of effort. But I mean, this New York Knicks team, it really just came down to effort. It came down to obviously Brunson going off the way he did, but overall, I mean, rebounding, second chance opportunities, just completely dominating the Celtics off the glass. Like, that's a lot of that is effort, you know. And the way they ended that second quarter was something that Joe Mazzulla talked about with us, but he didn't rebound his guys at halftime. He didn't even mention it at halftime, as he revealed to us after the game, because he said that this isn't an indication of who they are as a team when they are playing for something that really matters, and that these two losses against teams that have a lot to play for, those respective efforts speak for themselves. And I think a lot of that is true, but it's just kind of weird, guys. Like, let's be honest. I mean, like, to lose like this, I mean, it doesn't look as bad the final score, but that doesn't tell the whole story. I mean, these guys, they went on a mini run at the end of the fourth quarter to make it somewhat respectable. But look, again, it doesn't change how I feel about this team making a deep, deep playoff run, but it wasn't fun to watch.
It was ugly. Was it just as ugly in person, Josue? I at least got to turn the TV off.
It was ugly. And then I want to say, maybe it was in my section, but it was loud enough, like a faint, like 5-6 second MVP chant for Brunson at the free throw line. It was weird, man. Yeah, weird night at TD Garden.
Some Knicks fans tonight. There's usually a good amount of Knicks fans, I feel like.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. But it wasn't the type where if you panned across the arena, you would say, oh, there's a bunch of jerseys. It was just like kind of like specks of it, and then they all collectively got that chant going as loud as they could. But yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? The New York Knicks, they don't want to face this team in the second round. They have to lock down that third seed. They'd rather see the Celtics. They'd rather wait until as long as they can, you know, which would be the Eastern Conference Finals if they have their way. And Thibodeau, I mean, he's that guy to say, look, we got to beat this team. You know, I got to get some motivation to you guys. I mean, if this is what it takes. Look, starting five is healthy. You know, it wasn't like one of those games where, like, the stars sat. So, yeah, I mean, it's a huge motivating win for these guys. But again, it means a lot to them because they don't want to be slotted or stuck into that fourth seed and then having to face the Celtics after a first round matchup, which I think they can win. You know, I really do think that they can They have a shot. Yeah. They do have a shot. These Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, if things go their way. But if I'd imagine they want to lock down that third seed. They don't want that smoke that early in the playoff.
Missoula, though, went as far as to call them desperate. Like the last two teams, Milwaukee and New York, were not desperate.
Right. They're going to make the
playoffs. They were desperate.
Yeah, it's like we played games against two desperate teams. Like,
Joe, who doesn't like certain words, right? Let's face it. He gets really shaky. He gets very defensive about embarrassing or demoralizing, which I guess is probably worse than embarrassing. But, yeah, I think that was an interesting choice of words, too.
Proper perspective. They're not desperate. I agree that, yes, you want to stay in that 2-3 hole because you don't want to slip into four. A 4-5 matchup and slot up against the Celtics in round one. That's smart.
That's not desperate, right?
That's not desperate, especially the Bucks, who honestly, worst case scenario, were falling to 3 and just losing home court in a potential second round matchup. So I don't think either are desperate.
They're not desperate. The Knicks are
preferable. It's preferable. It's preferable. Mm-hmm. It's preferable.
Yeah, I don't see it as being desperate. I think
desperate is fighting for your playoff lives. This is preferable. Right. You just want to get in at this point and do whatever.
Exactly. Desperate is you don't want your season to end. Like that's the bottom of the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference. Those teams are desperate.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. Looking here. Oh yeah, we're gonna hear from KP about how the team played. Josue, other observations from tonight or anybody you talked to?
KP, actually, I hope I'm assuming that's probably the quote.
We're getting Porzingis coming up in a minute.
Okay, yeah. I like what he had to say because it's like, man, if we need another one of these wake up calls, it's going to be in the playoffs pretty much. And he gets more into it, or there's more to that quote. I'll leave it at that. But
yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that this version of the Celtics could pop up in the playoffs, but it does make you a little uneasy.
I'm not saying they're not. That's the problem.
When you're on the wrong end of those whopping runs, I hate that for this team. I really do. I would in the playoffs that type of stuff shouldn't happen in the first round, especially, or second round rather. You know what I mean? I just don't think this team would go out there and put together like a ridiculous type of effort out there. I don't think that'll happen where it's like all three or four quarters or something like that, but those runs do scare me, man. You guys know how I feel about this team, again, this team's defense against, let's say, the shiftier guards, if you will, right? Shout out to Marcus. Remember, I think that was the term that we used when we said that his defense had dropped a bit. Yeah, I mean, Brunson he's one of those guys. Yeah, he's up there in the Eastern Conference in terms of one of those shiftier guards that can have himself a night like this and flirt with 40 easily. No problem.
He's amazing. He really is. He can. Yeah. He knows how to manipulate, and get his body and get inside yours and create contact and get his shot off. He's really, really, really
knows how to get his offense going and then get other guys as well. But then all of a sudden, it's like your team's the Celtics were stuck in trying to slow him down and they just couldn't, and it carried over into the second half. 10 more points in that third quarter.
He doesn't play pretty boy basketball. That's what I call it. He plays tough.
Because he's supposed to, Jimmy.
No, he doesn't. He's not supposed to. But that's why he's so effective. Because he doesn't care. He'll just go in there and be a dog. He's not trying to prance and dance all around the court and all this stuff. He's just freaking in your face, killer, tough, plays hard, probably honestly is born for the playoffs.
Right.
Scott, if they had one more guy, this Knicks team would be. First of all, their record would be a hell of a lot better than it is, but they would be a legit. I mean, they need to figure out next season what they can do to just improve, keep improving, because that guy's a leader, and I honestly think he's built for the playoffs. And like I said earlier, Josue gives me those like Jimmy Butler vibes a little bit, that dog. He's got that dog in him. He's got that dog in him, Josue.
Perk would call him a dog, I think, for sure. Or no, was it KG and Paul had that back and forth where they were talking about naming dogs in the league? Yeah, he fits the criteria.
Yeah. Yeah, give me like a dog. Who's a dog? I think he's he's top five dog right now. He's on my top five dog list. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's got like Rottweiler mentality.
Yeah. All right, let's hear from KP And then we might get a Bobby Manning appearance on the show. Here's what Porzingis said about whether or not these things matter. Come on, producer boy. Ahmed, I played it. Let's try it again. KP.
If I had to bet, I would say we'll show up at the level that we need to show up. But it's on us. It's on us. And as I said, I don't think I don't think it's a habit for us. You know, it's just, to be honest, once we turned up, they were still making shots. They were still like, man, it was just one of those games for them and one of those games for us, to be honest, even when the intensity was like evened out. So, and usually when we even out the intensity, we always have the advantage and we start building. But tonight was just wasn't our night on any of those aspects. So that we got the result. But the second unit was on fire, you know, and got us back and at least gave some like positivity to the crowd at the end of the game. But again, I would say no chance. We don't turn up as the team that the fans love on the first playoff game.
All right, and part of the bite I was looking for, not included in here, was asking if he's worried about them falling into bad habits when the playoffs start. Maybe we will. Maybe we'll get our ass kicked again to start a series, and that'll be a wake-up call for us. But I bet that we will show up. So, again, opening up the possibility that, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it does happen. That's what you don't like, is you don't want to enter the playoffs and be like, we're ready, right? You know, like, right? You know,
right, guys, yeah, like let's forget those last few games, those don't matter. We're ready,
we're good, none of that mattered, right? And then not be sure, you know,
they might need to get punched, John. They might need to get punched, and then they'll know, oh, we weren't ready, but here's what we need to do to get ready, or we are ready, we'll punch right back, we'll find out.
Yeah, I'm confident we'll be there, but you never, again, nobody likes, and please don't give me Denver's record again. In the chat, please. Last year, I don't.
That one team, that one year.
It happens both ways. I am not a fan of switch flipping.
Yeah,
it's not always. It
you know,
always
I've been
happen.
Saying that, John. You know, I've been saying that.
I'm not a switch flipping. You know what? I said it a couple of years ago about defense. Like they'll get it when they want to get it. They can if they want it. They'll get last year rather. If they want it, you know, they'll get it because it's just a matter of effort. It's not actually. It's a matter of getting used to doing it on a regular basis, you know, and what that entails. They played well on a regular basis. It's not like this is who they are for a long period of time. But you're going to go into – they haven't played a game that mattered at all. And most ones that we thought might on the calendar, either the other team sat all their stars or you mailed it in. So you haven't had a lot of games where you had to ratchet it up and go for it. They've been sparring with puppies for like 30 games, 25 games. It's a long time. Mm-hmm. So you're not talking about flipping a switch in terms of playing well again. They've played well plenty of times and had games where they hit every shot and played good defense. They've played well, but playing a good team that's playing with its life on the line, with playoff intensity all at once, they haven't done that in a while. So you definitely don't want to go in too much of a down because you got to flip a lot of switches, which is like, well, not only have we not had a game that mattered, we haven't tried in 3 weeks. You know, like that's not, you know, we'll just try when we get there. It'll be cool. I don't know. I don't love that. I don't love it.
I mean, it's
again, maybe the punch in the face is just one close game. And then that's all it is. And then they roll from there.
Yeah, because I was going to say, that should happen organically, John. It shouldn't be like, okay, we got to get ourselves pumped up again because we haven't played in like 10 days. Like, no, like you guys should be, the Celtics should be hungry enough to know what's at stake, to know that, okay, we got to play at another level or at least what we've been doing for the majority of the season. I mean, as Joe Mazzulla said, sure, that first half, that ridiculous or ugly-looking first half that the Celtics put out there against the Knicks, that is not who they are. You know, we know that. But it's just a matter of, you know, is this part of your identity, you know, like or you know, if a team can go out and put out a lopsided run, are you going to have enough heart to fight back, you know? And I don't think that that's necessarily, like, again, nothing about the last two losses changes how I feel about this team. But I just feel like when it comes to the playoffs, and if we look back on these last two games and say, see, you know, they weren't there mentally, I'm going to say, they should have been there mentally, you know, because not only is the talent there, but they've been so far before, you know what I mean? They've been so close, rather, you know, like the core of this team. And again, I mean, just based on what they did throughout the regular season, it's not like, I don't think not playing in competitive games for a while or whatever is an excuse or a legit valid excuse as to why you can't get yourself pumped up or focused for a playoff matchup. Like, you guys have that. Suns have to have that energy no matter what.
What up, Bobby? Bring us home. We're going to wrap this thing. What do you got?
We got 1,300 on after this game. People don't care. Give me a break. People still care.
Give me a break.
What's up,
Believe Bobby? It or not, Tatum still hasn't spoken.
See?
He's speaking out the back door.
He's really committed to the no effort thing, right? Yeah, like we're really taking our time tonight. That's fine.
So. Yeah, I think it might be another half hour, but
that's all right. What do you got, Bobby?
Jalen Brunson. Yeah, caught up with him. I think Nick's very stoic. Obviously, you know, their coaches. He was as well. It was a different team tonight, and I asked basically, what's it take to beat these Celtics? Because they played them close throughout the year. They played them tough a couple different times, and then they finally beat them tonight pretty convincingly. And he said it was mostly just making shots, but that you don't have to play perfect against them. You just have to take advantage of the small number of mistakes they make. And they made a lot tonight, obviously. And the Knicks took advantage of all of them. The breakouts were great. I thought OG made such an impact in his first game against them. So it's impressive what they're doing over there. They look like a competent, well-run team with an identity. And every game between these two has entertained me. And this one in a frustrating way, but it was impressive to watch Brunson. OG has added so much to that group. Their bench is explosive. They've developed guys. This feels like it could be the East Finals. Like, that's what my gut's telling me at this point. And Knicks look like they're going to be the 3 seed now with this win. I think the Bucks won tonight too, right? So they're probably going to be the 2 seed. So they're not lining up in round 2. If this happens, it's going to be a Eastern Conference Finals type of situation. And it could be a Knicks-Sixers first round now, the way we're looking at it. But I think they can get through that. I think they can get through the East. Randall, we'll see what kind of impact that has on them. He hasn't played well in the playoffs before. I still think they'll miss him a little bit, but I believe in that team. I have for most of this year. I think they'll be tough. They're going to be tough. I don't have them beating the Celtics, but you saw again tonight, they are going to be tough. And looks like the first round could get a little bit easier, guys. Did you talk about the Magic at all?
No, we got to save some for the next two games. There's not going to be a lot of action, but we'll start getting down to the nitty gritty on that kind of who's left.
Starting to come in the view.
A little bit, but again, I mean, the very fact that no matter what, once you get to 7 through 10, Celtics could play, you know, three of those teams. it really is hard to pin down, but we'll get more into that in the next game. We got two to go, and we'll be here, and then the playoffs start, which are great. We are going to wrap up this show, but Bobby and Josue are going to go live in a little bit. So stay tuned for a little bit more game analysis. These guys are there at the Garden. They'll be live from the court in a little bit. So turn on.
Look at this. We haven't even gotten to talk to each other. It's all going to be fresh.
It's all going to be fresh stuff. So you get their takes there. Yeah. You heard enough from me and Jimmy. Now you hear from the guys who were down there covering the game. Maybe actually talk a little bit of basketball. And, you know, maybe if you want.
You guys didn't talk ball, David.
Maybe admit that, like, it would have been better if they won. Like, it would have been better.
We talked feelings.
If you guys want to do
anything, they do is fine.
It's always
exactly.
Fine.
Everything is awesome. Also, if anyone wants to, wants to watch last night's show, me and Bobby did an hour on Drew Holiday.
That was fun.
Derek White talked Jaylen Brown. That was a good show. Kind of a little bonus show. Emergency guard.
That's a good idea. Check that out for the Drew Holiday take. Some people getting in on Drew.
John, what's your Drew Holiday take real quick? You got a quick one?
I think in the same vein that you really just don't want to let assets go, when you make a trade and you give up that much capital, you're absolutely signing, whether or not you think that the deal is great. I think people can look at it and say, age 37 season, or wow, that annual average annual value is a little high. The main point is you're not making that trade to let them walk out the door. So you're going to re-sign, and they're going to re-sign everybody, and they're going to try to re-sign White. Mm-hmm. They're going to figure it out in 2 years when the $300 million tax bill comes due. That's when they figure it out. But this championship window is going to be this year, the next, and the one after that. And then Tatum's extension kicks in and shit gets crazy. And they're going to have to honestly probably retool on the fly by shopping or cutting some pieces, or so that's what you got. You got this 3 year window. Holiday's part of that. They want him on board for the next two for sure. This is what it took to get it done. They got it done. I understand people not, I understand people being a little dubious. And I get it. It's a lot of money, but I don't.
Those people, I think, they're looking.
And it's also it's Wick's money. You can't you can't spend it on anyone else. All it is tax dollars and like the restrictions of being behind the second apron. But there's no question you're better for having him. And I don't think it prevents you from signing White. I think they're going to sign everybody and just eat it. You know,
spot on, absolutely. You know, it's whether you want to say maybe the Golden State Warriors set the bar, or maybe you just want to say, look, this is the future of the NBA. Like, you have to send the right message to your team into that locker room, and that's. We're going all in. You know, we made these deals last summer because this is the core that we want to ride it, you know, for the next two, three, whatever years the championship window is. But whatever it is, they're going to stretch it out, you know. And I think this is the right message to send in that someone like Jrue Holiday, who's obviously a veteran in this league, has been around for quite some time. People might look at those last couple of years and say, man, like, he's really up there age-wise. But either way, it sends the right message. And I think, you cross that bridge, you get there. You talk to Derek White, you know, when you see how the roster looks, how the how the money is and all that stuff. But either way, you try to get that one done as well. You know, I just think the Celtics need to keep this core intact for as long as possible, especially the starting five. And I think re-signing Kristaps Porzingis, you know, right away sent that message for sure. And this one is the same thing, you know, like, hey, this is the team, this is the squad, you know. This is what we want to happen. We believe in you guys. And if you're Wick Grosbeck, man, like, you've been at this table for over 20 years now. You got one championship to show for it. I mean, you know, you guys know how Wick is, man. He's been very, maybe we use the word desperate for a second championship. And this is, it's not going to get much better than this in terms of talent level, where these guys are age-wise, their core. I mean, Jrue Holiday is what, the third, fourth, fifth guy, however you look at it. He's not one of your, on two or three, you know, those guys are still in their 20s. So that's what you do in the NBA. When you have a team that talented, you keep it intact as long as possible.
You lock them up. That's what they'll do. They'll deal with it. They'll sort it out later. Check out Bobby and Joe Sway. They're coming up in a little bit. We're going to wrap it up. We'll see you guys over the weekend. We got another one tomorrow, one on Sunday. We close it out. But again, more basketball talk coming out. Garden Report after hours. Make sure
after dark,
subscribe. Tune in. These guys are coming to live from the court in just a little bit.
Wait, Amit's got an outro for us.
See you guys. See you soon.
No, he doesn't.
He said he was going to work on an outro.
He had a phenomenal game.
Phenomenal game.
Porford's out. I think it's an option.
That did not sound like a chair.
It was a freaking chair. It does sound like a chair.